Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday, June 10, 2018 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. And sure wish I had some notes or some feedback from you guys on how your Prince parties went. The most recent draft of the PDF for these shows is number 1093. Sisters and brothers, FYI, and for the record, just as they microwave me and my car, they can microwave trees. They do that to the fig here annually. Now, the lemon tree has received this treatment because I need its juice. Sometime around the 1st of June 2018, we found the leaves browning and curled into crispy fries, as I am too when I'm trying to sleep. The EMF wave they're hitting me with now, even more thickly gummy and dense and deep in, causes so much mucus in my head and throat and chest that I've had to drink voluminous quantities of lemon juice to help clear it. EMF assault makes you feel radioactive all the time, pressurized. The tree was literally one day vibrant, next day dried up. The fig just gets its fruit fried, but with the lemon, every leaf dried up overnight. We set wrath aside, not by suppressing it, but by expressing it, which you cannot do till you've made it conscious. What we're now beginning to understand is that we cannot grow up, which means grow into our love, become our measure of the whole of it, until we confront the state in us, where it hides, in our emotions, in our feelings not made conscious. Consciousness implies awareness of the global state, pretending to be master of everything. We're beginning to see why, just by setting wrath aside, not, as Paul says, as an act of will, equivalent to his works, but through a process of understanding, through a renewing of our mind. It's as if the sun has at last come through that dense shroud of clouds called the state, and our arms reach out, our branches extend upwards to its light and sustenance, its food of truth. It's as if while we dwell in it, the space truth opens up for us, the state ceases to exist. And all the prophets want us to feel it, feel what that freedom means, feel it so much. We fight for it, for all our brothers and sisters, feel the critical need for it to be what all of us globally feel. Fight for that feeling to be what life means. To experience it not as a little pocket into which we dip for comfort, but as the world of our creation blossoming around us, the material reality created by all of us, every day of our lives, for now and for always. The prophets come to show us the way. Can we see all this other than by their example of it? And once we're shown it, shown the way, see that truth is spirit, is it possible to lose it? Lose what we painstakingly gained? Is it possible to fall out of the way? Quoting Paul from Galatians 3, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? And I think we can say with assurance that by hearing, Paul's using the term hearkening. Continuing, are ye so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are ye now made perfect in the flesh? He speaks rhetorically. Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. How be it that once free, you again seek bondage? How does that happen? Paul tells us, in a sense, with his question, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, by your works or efforts under the law, or by the hearing of faith, by a renewing of your mind? If Prince had not made himself known to me, and I was nonetheless provided by him and Paul with that deeper understanding of what happened that I needed, the understanding that what is invisible has more power than what is visible, that we cannot grow up until we confront the state in us where it hides, in our wrath, that we cannot grow up until we set wrath aside through the renewing of our minds, making conscious our awareness of the global state and the abusiveness of class. The truth that we are here to be righteous, that the rule of love is the negation of the class system and is the alternative vision, the freedom we seek, and that we must show it to our brothers and sisters. If I had been provided with all this, and I had listened, hearkened, to confirm the essence of it, would I be as firm in my belief, even though Prince was not in me? But that's a difficult question to answer, not only because all those things is what having Prince means. It means a personal relationship, means, as Prince himself has said, that when we think about him, he's there. But also because it's his example that makes this deeper understanding so compelling. This question returns us to our discussion of our sexumvirate and their separate but intertwined roles in solving Socrates' dilemma, and why we need Prince to put it all together.